Welcome in. It's the Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook with Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, high school basketball is officially done. The tournament's over. The All-Star games are done. And we're moving on to spring sports.
Well, not all tournaments.
Yeah. We still got one.
Yeah, got a big one
here. Good segue, right?
Yeah, excellent job on that. Nate, do you want to go ahead first with what was the best thing you saw all week?
Yeah, so, you know, for mine, it's real simple. It's a short list this week. You know, it's kind of what happens when sports starts winding down. Mm-hmm. There's not as much going on. But, you know, I talked about it last week. You know, MLB opening day was coming up. It's been a tradition for me to go to opening day every year. I wasn't able to go to the opening day, but I went to opening weekend. I was at the Reds game on Sunday afternoon. It's my favorite place to be. If I could pick one place to go, take me to Great American to watch a game, sit in the stands. I don't know what it is. It's like Field of Dreams to me. It is my piece. I love being there, being in the ballpark. It's back. It's an incredible time for me. I was able to go with my wife. We had a great time. We sat up in the club section. Didn't get to see a win, but just any time I get to be at the ballpark, I love it, and that was without a doubt my best thing.
What's your favorite thing about mediocre American ballpark?
You know, I couldn't really tell you. I've not seen a lot of great baseball there. I mean, just honestly.
Just probably getting away, right?
You know, it's just there's just something about being – at that ballpark, at that place, there's a comfort there. There's a familiarity there. I love being downtown. I love everything they've done. I love the atmosphere. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just love it. There's just a feeling I have when I'm there. And, you know, I always love when it comes back around, and it did this weekend. So very happy to have baseball back. You know, look, and if they're bad, I just get cheaper tickets, and that's fine with me.
that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Is that all you have?
Yeah, a short list this week.
Well, I'm surprised because you had an opportunity to meet Will Howard this weekend. And
awesome.
I'm hoping that Nick will put that photo.
I thought you looked great.
Will, yeah. I mean – I think Will heard what he said about him a couple times. He had a sour look.
Well, no.
He didn't look happy.
He just said, when you weren't looking, he's like, hey, you were right. I said, thank you. You know what? We don't even have to tell everybody. You and I will understand that I was correct.
All right.
And we can move on. He knows it wasn't a personal attack against him.
the tune changed after the national championship. Yeah, it's weird.
So the All-Star game at Elia High School, I thought that was a wonderful thing, right? The highlights that came out of that were absolutely outstanding. It looked like the guys – took a lot of pride in playing in that basketball game. Danny got a chance to call it from afar. It looked like it was a lot of fun.
I love the change in the format.
I did too.
It used to be just the seniors, but now they opened it up. It's just the best players in District 8. Yep. And I think that'll really change the dynamic as that moves on.
And a lot of the people were worried that they weren't going to see the highlight stuff, but they still saw it.
Absolutely.
Right? They saw the dunks and the big threes that you wanted. Another thing I had written down here, Ohio State fans at the autograph signing I went to this past weekend. Guys, I cannot tell you how rabid the Ohio State fan base is down in Columbus at the Polaris Mall. The line for Jack Sawyer to get his autograph at $199 per signature was absolutely bananas. I mean, it went all the way outside the mall, down the mall. He must have signed 1,000 times.
Well, you know, now that he can actually get paid and collect that money, it makes it a little bit easier to sign your name.
It sure did. But I will tell you this, every Ohio State Buckeye that I got to sign, super nice kids, super nice. Talked to every fan. You didn't feel like you were rushed. They were very polite young men. Ryan Day has recruited some of the best people that you get. That was an amazing thing. And then, I guess we can take credit for the next one. The Three Wise Men being on TV at restaurants.
Even though
a certain someone just sent a picture of just himself on the TV.
Yeah. It's weird. He gets the one cam.
Yeah. Well,
and then instead of waiting until it's a wide shot of all of us, he's like, let me screenshot the picture of me on this television.
In my defense, my wife was having dinner at a establishment here in town with her sister and another lady. They were going to a play at the Civic Center, and she looked up, and the other lady said, "That's your husband on TV." And my wife took a picture and sent it to me. She said, "Oh, you're famous, ha ha."
Oh, okay. See, he's famous.
I love your show. You and the guys do a great job.
Right.
Here's your beautiful face that I somehow can't ever get away from.
You guys do a good job.
You're on this show too.
Hey, you guys really make it a lot easier for me to have a great show.
Before you know it, he's going to try to turn us into butlers.
going to tell Smith where, like, tuxedos are too small and stuff, yeah.
The last thing I have, and I'll bring it next week if you guys want, the championship belt came in for the first annual Slow-Footed 40 on April 12th. You know, three of us are racing.
Why are you letting this happen?
I did it. Against I had Michael, nothing to do with this.
Michael Garlock, arguably the fastest kid in Lima Land history. We're racing him on April 12th at noon outside the Woof Boom Studio. The championship belt looks absolutely fantastic. Kelsey Beimer's racing in it. Chris Howell, Tyler Avila's racing it. Evan Skiller, we're not sure about.
Yeah.
But I'll bring the championship belt next week.
Listen, this isn't my fault. Somehow this went from a bet with him, with my son somehow at some point needing to run under
a
4.8 to now we have this gigantic race in the square at high noon in downtown Lima. Right. Now, listen, I saw the belt, and now that I've seen the belt, I do kind of
want
to win that.
Some are calling it the biggest race in the history of Lima Land.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, guys, for me, it was the District 8 All-Star Game. It was really, really impressive, and we had talked to Keith Utendorf and Todd Boblett a couple weeks ago, and they were so kind of nervous about the changes they made, but, guys, the crowd was good last night. The competition was fantastic. They had the best players out there playing, and it was really, really competitive, and I was super proud of those guys, and talked with Todd and Keith last night during the game. They were excited about it. They're going to keep that format, I believe. And they said, look, these rosters are going to change every year because somebody, if you're a freshman or sophomore playing in this game and you don't perform well or whatever, you may not get to come back to next year. So, So
the USA Olympic team.
Yeah, told me that they talked to each locker room before they came out on the floor and emphasized, this is a serious game. The officials came over. The one guy was sweating. He said, look, the competition is serious out here. And it was really – I was really excited. Great game to call. And also, I got to talk to a lot of great coaches last night. I got to interview Crestview coach Doug Etzler, Arlington coach Jason Vermillion, Todd Boblett from Bluffton, Keith Utendorf from Ottaville, and Jay Bosselman from Kenton. Some really good coaches. Jay's a girls coach, and we talked to him during the game. And we just had a really good night. WSN did a really good job of presenting that game and really promoting high school sports like they do every week, but it was awesome. And then Willie Foster last night, I told you guys this, had a missed dunk that if he makes the dunk, it still may be the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It was an alley-oop.
It's the best missed dunk ever.
And he come from the left side and does a 360. I looked at Gillian and I go, what did we just see? I've never seen anything like that.
Listen, it's a top five play of the year, and he missed it.
Yeah. Gilly looked at me, and he said, if he makes that, it's on ESPN tonight. I go, it may be on ESPN tonight.
Right. It was incredible.
Like something you've ever seen. Yeah. So.
Any truth to the rumor that they're thinking about adding a Lima Land celebrity basketball game part of it, too?
They've talked about it, I'm sure, So we may get the call, guys.
Oh, great. Let's do that. That's a great idea.
Nate and I will go out there looking like we smoke three packs of cigarettes a day.
First of all, speak for yourself. I was trying to be nice with you. Like, listen, I'm trying to pick both of you up off the floor after both of your knees and hamstrings.
I would play. Wouldn't you play if they had a celebrity game?
Is somebody getting angry? Because I think it's time to break the box out.
Are you getting angry? Yeah.
I'm not angry.
He's
I'm
angry.
Fine.
Oh, you want get the box
oh,
out?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Now I'm angry.
This early in the show, too.
I know, it is really rare.
Listen, this is what happens when I'm around you two. It doesn't take long.
Well,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
One or two.
Just give me one.
Are you sure?
Give it here.
There you go.
Now move on.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks,
I hope he's going to be okay for the tournament.
I think he will, too. Yeah. It's interview time here on the Three Wise Men, and we're going to turn the tables on a couple of guys who normally ask the questions. Tonight, we're going to ask the questions. Chris Howell, Mark Hostetter from the Lima News. Guys, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Hey, good to be with you guys, and always good to be sitting next to this
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's get right into it. Miles, you were going to say something.
Like crazy deja vu.
Like, I know, right? Like super weird. Do you want us to hold our phones out so you can talk into them like you're recording in your
ear? Here's what we do. We'll go run a couple laps around the building, and you guys ask us questions when we're out of breath, okay?
We're out of breath now. Who are you kidding?
Well, we are losers, so enjoy the crowd.
Short interviews.
Guys, let's get right into it. When did you guys first get into print media? How did this whole career take off? And everybody knows you guys. We make the jokes about Chris having the best hair in media, Mark being the nicest guy in the media.
I used to have hair, too.
When did this whole thing
take
off?
Yeah, this is the wrong crowd to talk about hair, and I'll tell you what, I'm just glad somebody else is here can relate.
I'd like to say that hair is my fifth best feature, by the way, but... Anyway, started out in let's see, 6-7 years ago, I worked at the Times Bulletin in Vanward as sports editor, got into it. I met this guy a long time ago, but we crossed paths a lot during that time. And not this past January, but the January before, I worked my way over to the Lyman News, and I guess it's been history ever since. This has been my family business. My dad was in radio for years. My brother was an Emmy Award-winning news producer in Dayton. This has just kind of been in my blood, man. This is, you know, kind of what I'm supposed to do, I guess.
And Mark, you know, the first time I ever met you, I didn't recognize you because your social media picture, you look a little different.
Yeah. Update that photo. It's been a couple of years since I took it.
But everybody knows you. You've been doing it for a long time. Yeah. And, you know, you're part of the community, the Northwest Ohio sports scene.
Well, I really appreciate you guys inviting me in tonight. My start was kind of probably not the unique way to start. I started back in the 90s at the Vanward Times Bulletin. Basically, I've always been in the insurance business for the most part, but they need somebody to cover Van Wert and Van Wert County schools. So I started writing for Van Wert Times Bulletin, and all of a sudden, hey, you want to be sports editor? I'm like, yeah, I'll try that. And I was still in the insurance business. Speed up about 6-9 months. I decided I got a chance to come to Lima News. That was in 2002. Paul Smith, you know, he invited me over, and it's been my home ever since. So.
So we at one point had the exact same job, sports editor at the Times Bulletin in Van Wert. And I got to say, man, you know, this guy, he really does a great job of covering my blind spots. Nobody covers track, cross country, wrestling better in the state of Ohio than Mark. And he's got the respect among the kids and the coaches. And I'm very lucky to have him by me, as with the rest of my staff.
I loved your response. If you wanted to be the sports editor, it was kind of like Lou Brown with the Indians, right? I don't know. I got a guy that's talking about some tires.
I didn't mean to do. I thought, well, I might as well cover it.
You know, Chris, you talked about it. Like, for Mark, you know, kind of the fringe sports, right? That's kind of – and there's nobody that covers it better than Mark does. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of being on the other side of it back when I was coaching track at LCC. The only reason we would get the coverage that we got, the only reason that the attention came to the track meets and to the track athletes was because Mark. Mark was out there. He was covering it, and the coverage was tremendous. And there's a lot of kids in our area who've gotten a lot of attention that otherwise they wouldn't have gotten if it hadn't been for what you've done for track and for wrestling. And like I said, for those kind of those fringe sports that maybe doesn't get as much attention. What drew you to do those sports? You know, most people want to do the football, basketball, but you know, you cover all those other things.
Well, too, yeah,
I appreciate it. Well, you know, and really going back when Paul Smith, the former sports editor of Lyman News, he approached me with the idea, I need somebody to cover track, cross country, which I was always involved coaching those sports for many years, coached at Van Wert for a lot of years. And the joke is I've been at 5 different schools coaching and stuff. So when I came aboard, it was kind of like, okay.
More.
Not by choice.
Some schools going to keep me for a while sooner or later, you know. But no, you know, Paul Smith said, hey, I really like to have somebody cover those sports because I know you like covering it. And I love the other sports too, but I think that's always been my niche. And I think I've told Chris this before, and he knows it, being in the business for a while and seeing all these different sports. Those are sports, and Nate, you know that from being a former coach. Those kids usually, and you too, Danny, you coach track. It's like they don't really get the pub sometimes they deserve. Mm. And you know, as I started really covering it, you know, it's like I got more of a passion covering those sports. And wrestling's a good example. I never had no experience in wrestling in high school. But once I started covering, it was kind of the same thing, you know. Covering those kids, or they're a little bit
and
different.
And now I can't tear them away from them.
So. Mark, I tell people all the time, the state championship down at the Jesse O for track is as good as an environment that you will find in sports. For people that have never experienced it, can you summarize what it's actually like to be on that infield?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And, you know, you guys know, too, coaching and everything. It's hard to describe. And I've actually had media people kind of complain about being down there for 3 days to cover that. And it's like, to me, it's story upon story of different kids. You guys know this from covering it. And, you know, you go down with the mindset, I got these 30, 40 kids I got to watch. But when you get down there, you see some things happen. Like, even though I cover it every week, it's like, I don't see certain kids do these things. And to see how they when they succeed and sometimes when they don't succeed, to me, is kind of the neat part about the job, because I feel like I'm kind of sharing experience with them. When they come off and they're just delighted about being on the podium, and maybe they didn't expect to be there. So to me, it's just being involved with those kids, watching what they do. And, you know, you guys, Nate especially, you know, when you're down there and you have a team that's winning, they're winning their events and so forth. It's like you walk out and you feel like you went through the same thing the kids went through. Yeah.
Yes, Mark, you're right. I know what it's like when you're down and you win and you win and you just have kids that constantly win and just winning all the time. You're right, Mark. I do. I very much understand that.
Do you remember him running?
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see on April 12th.
Yeah, he coached two of the fastest humans on the planet.
Right. We're covered
all
now, too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We're covered
we'll
there.
You know, Mark, speaking of the track, I used to tell my kids if we were lucky enough to get kids down to the state track meet, I say, you know, there's going to be kids down here that are going to fall short of their goals and do things that kind of surprise you. Right. And then there's going to be kids that do things that surprise you and win state championships that nobody thought of, you know, and that's part of that state track environment.
It is. Cause you know, you go down there and you always, when I coach, I used to tell my kids, don't look at the seeds. Yeah. How many times you go down there and it's like, okay,
right.
You have to understand every kid going down there is sometimes they're not, we want them to peak when they get down to state, right, Coach?
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I whatever happens once you get the tournament, and that's why I tell kids, don't worry about the seeds, because every year I've done this for 24 years, 25 years, I always come back with just shake my head about a couple of things that happen. Yeah, we've had the great athletes, the Gray Horns and Joe Horns, and those kids I followed, which you knew they're going to do something big.
Yeah.
But when you come back, say, wow, this kid really just surprised me.
Yeah,
I wasn't planning on seeing this.
And then there's some of those kids who have been going head-to-head all during the regular season, and then all of a sudden it ends on the big stage, kind of like it did at wrestling this year. You know, same with cross-country with Ty Rosengarten and Owen Scott.
Yep,
and
yep.
That's, you know, it's only the right way for some of those careers to end, right?
How important is it for you guys to build relationships with the area coaches and all the sports and the kids? And look, you know, that we joke all the time about interviews with coaches after the game. We're putting our microphones in their faces after they got beat by 40, asking them how they feel, or after a big win.
You know
win.
What the answer is.
Yeah, I know, and they're so kind to us, but it really is important for us at WSN to build those relationships with coaches. Mm-hmm. That way, after a game, I can say, hey, coach, and he knows me, recognizes me, or whatever, but it's important for you guys, too.
Or walks away from you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll give you a good example, and a couple of good examples. This year happened, too, and I don't know if I shared this part with you. Over St. Mary's, you know, Tate Heisey won his second straight state title, and his teammate Bo Hertenstein was, you know, coming in after getting runner-up the last year, and, you know, we thought on paper he's got a great shot to win a state title with his teammate, and, you know, after Bo got beat in the semis, or, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, I might talk to him later, but he won't come back. He looked me up, and, you know, and awesome. I think the fact he knew I wanted to talk to him, I said, you sure you want to talk? Yeah, I want to talk.
Wow.
You know, and I see, you know, sometimes you see that emotional roller coaster with a kid. You understand, okay, go cool down. We'll talk to you later. And then we talked about the deal with Tate Heisey where 2 years ago he didn't want to talk when he got beat, you know, and then the next year he was coming
back.
That
also just goes to the level of respect these people have for Mark around the area, because they could have looked up anyone in the book, but they chose to look up this guy because they trust him.
Yeah, for you, how important is it to know when to talk to a coach and maybe when to back up? Maybe after a tough game, you say, you know what, I'll call him tomorrow morning or something like that. You got to know these guys, right?
Yeah, I find if you don't have at least a decent relationship with these coaches, that it makes it a lot easier for them to brush you off. But if there's a little bit of mutual respect there, like, you know, say you've done something for them earlier in the season, or they've done something for you, and you just kind of have at least a little bit of a baseline where you guys can relate to something, or, you know, you just, before you turn on the recorder, two sentences to him, just have a little bit of small talk and just kind of get where his head's at, stuff like that. I find it important to just be able to relate to them on a human level before we go into the, because, I mean, you know where you're going to get a lot of coach speak anyway,
absolutely,
too, you know, which is our favorite. But, you know, the most important part is sifting through that, finding the real substance, and, you know, just telling the story you think everybody would want it to be told, not necessarily one side or the other.
But guys, we all love sports, right?
Yeah.
I can still remember as a little kid why I fell in love with sports. Mm-hmm. When did it start for you guys? What was it that you fell in love with sports with?
Man, you know,
last week.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Getting there,
I'm so young.
Well, it's not the paycheck, right?
The youngest guy at the table.
Yeah. There's just so many moments, man. Opening day was the other day. I looked at a picture of me, my dad, and my grandpa just standing in the outfield at Jacobs Field, it was at the time. And, like, my grandpa was that guy who, if the baseball game wasn't on TV, he turned on the radio and nobody spoke or had the TV on during it. My grandma wasn't allowed to leave the room either. She had to be there because it was good luck, you know, superstitious and stuff like that. But then, you know, when I grew up going to games with my dad, I remember we used to drive those old radio trucks with the giant antennas on them. We used to have to run the cord from the truck all the way to wherever we were hooked up, and just little closet gyms in Ohio all over the place. And I could probably answer this question for another half hour, but we'll keep it there, man. Yeah, it's just it all goes back to just like, you know, my dad was my guy. He was my absolute best friend, man. And this is what we did. This is what we talked about every day up until his last days.
Man, that's awesome.
That's passion. That's what I'm talking about. That's what makes this show. That's awesome.
That is awesome. I've felt that question a lot. I really did. I just want to hug you.
Yeah.
Hey, well, what's really cool about it is I think that was the year that the Indians won the World Series too, right?
Not
why
quite.
He just opened up to you and you did that to him.
You are why we can't have nice things.
They lost that year?
We were there when they raised the banner in 2016 for the Cavs, and they were playing the World Series across the parkway.
This is a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I know misery.
I'm married to one, so hey, you know.
Come on, man.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I grew up in the 70s, and I was always an avid Reds fan.
18 or 19?
Well, when it was the Red Stockings.
This is why we can't get guests on this show, Miles.
You can't get anybody to come on the show. Oh, Miles would be nice, and then he throws this at you.
Oh, shoot. Well, you know, back in the 70s, I went back, and that's when, you know, the big Red machine. And it's kind of like with Chris, what he went through. Me and my dad, we would go down. I mean, God rest his soul. We used to go down like every other week, and I was a baseball fanatic growing up. That's back. We had nothing to do but play sports. I can remember getting up, and I was telling my grandson the other day that, Grandpa, what did you do when you were little? I said, we just want to play ball all day.
Yeah.
Because he was on his iPad and everything. I said, I remember my dad would have to come get me in the car because it was getting dark and say, get your stuff, get your bike in the car, and come home. But anyways, playing baseball was my first love back in the 70s. And I can remember going to Reds ball games with my dad. And, you know, if I showed you some of the stuff I got, Red stuff, it's unbelievable. I got a picture of me and Pete Rose when I was a little leaguer and stuff. And that was what really got me started in sports. And I loved basketball. I loved football. You know, I liked all the sports, but I think baseball is what really got me going when I was a little kid, watching the Reds and just, you know, playing baseball myself. And just that was the game, you know, back in the 70s. Every kid played baseball.
I'd have to say what specifically got me into high school sports, too, was I didn't want to work for Pepsi anymore. So I started doing that. But one of the huge turning points in my entire career was back in 2017 after my dad passed away. It was in the fall. And we buried him on a Friday. Well, what happens in the fall on Friday? Mm. High school football.
Right.
So we buried him at noon. I went to Van Wert Shawnee at 7 o'clock, man. And, you know, I can just remember looking up at the stands, looking at all these people, looking at all these players. I saw a kid who got injured, got carried off the field by an opposing teammate. Like, I just absolutely stared at it in awe, and In a day where you could be anywhere on planet Earth, especially I could have chosen to take that day off, but I chose to be there, and I made the right choice, and that's the choice I'm going to make probably for the rest of my life.
Anything snarky?
No.
I was testing you on that one.
You want to ruin another great moment? Yeah.
Guys, we always talk amongst ourselves about our favorite places to go cover games, and we all have our favorites, and we've all been pretty vocal about it. Do you guys have a favorite, or maybe, I always ask the question about when kids are here, who do you like to beat them? You know, maybe you don't have a least favorite place or a favorite place. I'm going to put you to the test here.
Man,
I'll let him start so I can think about it. Well,
there's a couple obvious ones. Yeah. It's any sport at Columbus Grove. Mm-hmm. It's definitely football at Wapak. It's basketball at Elida.
I agree with the football Wapak. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's actually basketball at Wapak too. Once it gets down to tournament time, there's so many good venues around here, and even those little old ones too. Like, you know, you go down to Marion Local to watch a game, and you're like, this is what basketball has always been. And then, with us, we have the good luxury of having the opportunity to go to one of those super old gyms, mm-hmm. or, you know, a small school, say an NWCC game. And then, you know, the next night we could double back and go to Lima Senior and watch a basketball game. So we get all spectrums, and I think we're very fortunate to just be treated so well by the area. I can't remember an outwardly negative incident that we've had over the past football and basketball season, and I'm pretty grateful for it.
I can remember back. You know, I'm showing my age. I was at Elida before they built the field house.
Oh wow!
So I can remember when they built the field house, and we used to play in the old school gym where Elida wasn't very good back in the 60s and 70s, but you just had, it was so small, you had to get there early to get in the gym. And I can remember fast forwarding to eighth grade when they built the field house. I remember I worked the ropes and stuff, and I tell you, having those Putnam County schools come in here and just sell that field house out.
Yeah.
And I just remember those days when you have the Continental, Ottavilles, Kaleidas. And I think that's what got me really, really excited about basketball, seeing all those big games at the field house. So when I go back now, it's just kind of weird looking back. Okay, this has been how many years ago, 50 years ago, when I was sitting there as a junior high kid. So going to games at the field house, I always get excited about. Any of the Putnam County schools, again, a lot of them have the smaller gymnasiums, yeah. Always brings more excitement. And you get that small town feel for those games. But like Chris said, I don't think there's any venues we go to, we're not welcomed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we don't have a nice experience there. I mean, it seems like the athletic directors, they want us to be there. They do everything in their power to make sure we have a nice experience. But yeah, I look back my days at the Elida being a little kid saying, I remember trying to fight my way in the field house because I was working and I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Because they were lined up for the next game. And, you know, here comes Ottaville and Continental.
Do you remember,
Mark,
when I was a little kid growing up, we would go to high school football games on Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, you didn't get to see all this. You didn't know who won or what. And the Lyman News would run the scores at the top of the Lyman News. Yeah. And I would get up on Saturday morning, I would run to get the paper to see who won. You
that
know?
Was our Twitter.
Yeah. I know, right? And my mom was like always like, what are you so excited about? I'm like, oh, Bath beat Kenton or you know, Columbus Grove beat
Kentucky. That's the first thing you read.
Yeah,
really.
Right. Yeah. I was a junkie, too.
The same editions of the Lyman News that I'm, as a kid, cutting out pictures of and putting them on my bedroom walls and stuff like that, which is really why this is so full circle for me.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Does your wife get mad about that?
Yeah.
You know. Does it bother you guys or you know, the way things are changing? Would you rather see the bigger newspapers instead of everything online? Your stuff's still being read. But for me, nostalgia is getting that Saturday morning paper and reading those articles. I know it's old school, but does it bother either of you?
I think we just have had to readjust to how we approach things. We got to, for the print edition paper, we got to make more timeless articles. We got to tell some kid's background story or just, you know, highlight a team special season and stuff like that. Just as a recent example, we did a huge page for the Columbus Grove girls after they won it all. And, we sent 200 extra copies to the school. We said, give them to whoever wants them. Just make sure they have this. And, superintendent sent us this real nice letter.
That's
and
cool.
Everybody was really appreciative really cool. out there. So I, you know, if anybody doubts if it still matters what we do, let me tell you, we're on the front lines of it, and it absolutely matters to you. I can't tell you how many times somebody has a bad picture of me interviewing their kid on their phone because they're just like, oh, you want to interview? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, growing up in the old days, and that's what we always want to print. I mean, and I can remember going to, like, graduation parties and stuff, and I see some cross-country kid, he's got his pictures, and the mom's like, oh, Mark, this is a beautiful article you did on my son and daughter or whatever. And those days, I do miss those days, having that kind of a – getting that print edition every day of the week. But like Chris said, I think it's come to a point now where that's just the way it is. And I think this generation is really – it's people like me trying to still to adjust, but a lot of the younger people, I think, have gotten to the point where they look on their devices, so it's not that big of a deal. And like Chris said, I think, you know, when we made the change, I think a lot of people were shocked. Oh, 2 days a week, that's all we're getting. But I think they learned that, and I give him a lot of the credit what he's doing, because he's done a great job getting things online. And I hear a lot of great things now about how people, they read it every day. And even when people kind of complain about something, I say, oh, so you're reading the article.
right.
Keep complaining, guys. Yeah, at least you're saying something about it.
And I'll tell you this about it being online is, I mean, I same thing. I always loved Saturday mornings. You have the ticker, you get, you know, newspaper. But with things being online now, you know, you used to cut the articles out, and people have scrapbooks, and you have these things.
Sure did.
That stuff gets lost over time, or it fades, or it gets torn, or it just gets misplaced.
Yeah.
I can show you on my phone right now, I still have it bookmarked, the article you wrote in 2014 titled The Fast Four about my four kids at LCC.
Awesome. Yeah.
And every now and then, when you're just feeling nostalgic, it takes me 3 seconds to pull up my phone and reread that article.
Yeah.
And that's what the least moving these things online have done for a lot of people.
Right.
you don't have to go digging through boxes to find the old articles or find the old pictures. With it moving, you know, obviously technology and the times we move forward, all this stuff is there is a benefit to having it right at your fingertips. Right.
And my philosophy has always been to, you know, we might not be the first, but we're always going to be the best because we do quality work. We really put our heart and soul into what we do. And, you know, we have the best people working for me. I firmly believe that, you know, starts with this guy. It goes to Jim Naveau and David Trinko, who's our boss running the show. He's a sports guy at heart, but he just really loves to get into it too. And we have some of the best photographers that I've personally seen AP photographers not as good as Richard Parrish and some of these other guys that we have working for us. So we're very fortunate, and we put everything that we got into this for sure.
So. I was just going to – so you guys obviously cover – we've talked. You guys have covered a ton of sports over here. You've been to a lot of different venues, a lot of different things. What are some of, if not the standout events that you guys have been to that no matter what, you know, what the venue is, the sport, whatever, is something that it's always kind of like that go-to when you're talking and swapping stories?
I just think of the most outlandish things I covered. Like Lincolnview's assistant baseball coach Eric Giesler went on a 200-mile bike ride a couple years ago, and so I said, start from go and tell me every minute by minute what you're feeling, what you're doing, and stuff. And I actually used that to get the job in Lima because I handed that over when I handed over my resume. And then the other thing was we had a guy from Van Wert. His name was Paul Barton, and he was boxing in the Salina Fairgrounds in an arena at the Salina Fairgrounds, and there were people from all over, like Defiance and stuff like that, and. I never thought being in just in this little corner of the world that I'd get to cover a live boxing. And let me tell you, man, there's really nothing like those little weird, quirky, like outlandish things that we don't always get to do.
Sure.
But when we do, it's always special.
I think one of the coolest things I got to do years ago, I think, I can't remember who was actually a sports editor then, Earl Bruce, it was out of coaching at the time. And I remember there was some kind of event going on, and he happened to come to... Oh, it was Ross Bischoff was their editor. Had to go through the town, through Criers one day, and Ross, hey, do you want to go cover and talk to Earl Bruce? I'm like, well, yeah.
Heck yeah.
So I actually sat down, ate a chicken dinner with him, and in a little office at a little place there in Criersville, and talked to him for like an hour and a half.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I tell you what, I almost forgot to turn my tape recorder on because I was just so excited. I'm sitting with Earl Bruce.
Right.
He insisted I shared his chicken dinner with him. He's having dinner, and I remember doing an article. He came to town. He was talking on behalf of some nursing homes. He was actually in the business, and he came in to give support and whatever, and he talked to the Wapak football team and stuff. And I remember I went and talked to that guy, and I remember just sitting there, and he goes, no, if you're going to interview me, you got to have dinner with me.
Wow.
And it's like one of the first
incredible
things I did for the Lima News. Like, this is pretty cool because I was used to covering games, go get your track meet covered, do this, do that, and it was just something totally different that I got to do, which I enjoy doing the features probably more than I enjoy doing the actual events.
I'm super jealous. He got to eat chicken with Earl Bruce.
It was really good. We ran into Earl my daughter's junior year at the state track meet. We were at a steakhouse the night before she ran, and he invited us to sit. And it was he and Zach Smith.
Because
his grandpa, and we sat down there, and I said, "You got any advice for my daughter?" Oh, he put his arm around her, and he started telling her all these stories. And my daughter had no clue.
It's like talking to
his,
it's like talking to your grandpa.
I know.
He's the nicest guy.
He was so fantastic.
You're so just cool. A wonderful guy.
So, guys, I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay, right. hang on.
Yeah, let's go. But some are going to be easy. Some maybe
some are going to be targeted.
Right. He's seen this segment.
He's good with words.
He is.
Okay.
All right. Number one, favorite sports writer of all time. Who do you guys have?
This is sports writer. He's actually a current writer right now. His name's Zach Mizell at The Athletic, and he's been Guardians beat reporter, Cleveland stuff. I can't think of his name. Works for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Paul something. I'll think of it, but you want to take over?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going blank here for a second, to be honest with you. I have a couple that I can't pull up a name right off the top of my head, though. This is a pretty good one here.
Yeah.
I might come back a little bit and give you a name here.
I thought you'd say Grantland Rice, right? I thought you'd say that one. All right, number of times that each have yelled, stop the presses.
Oh boy.
Never for me.
Never?
The presses aren't in our office. Oh. So.
No, no. I've never done it myself. I remember in the old days sitting there saying, the guy would yell, hey, we're ready, you know, and it's okay. Like they were, but I never had to yell it. They'd yell at me about getting my story done quick enough for the presses. But
yeah.
All right.
Never had to yell at myself.
If you two were going to fight Woodward and Bernstein, who wins?
Who are Woodward and Bernstein?
Watergate? They broke the story for
That's one I actually know.
All right. Yeah. All right.
If we fought him?
Yeah, if you fought him, who wins?
They're both in their 80s right now.
Well, yeah, you got no boxing background. But
yeah. All right. Okay, this will be easy one. Best athlete you ever covered?
Oh, man.
Boy.
You don't have to say me.
Let's see. Probably, well, if you count taking stats for my dad while he was doing radio, we covered Diebler's whole senior year at Upper Sandusky.
That's really good. That's really good.
So, John Diebler's an easy answer there.
not Jake.
maybe not. But
good night.
As far as since I've gotten over here, while I was in Van Wert County, I'd say Aiden Pratt for sure.
Oh, he was amazing, wasn't he?
I've never seen a kid who could just decide to play basketball the way he did with absolutely no
that district tournament
no training.
Amazing.
Yeah, after playing quarterback, so well, and he'll probably be seeing the field at University of Findlay this year.
Danny, you remember that tournament, don't you?
You do.
Yeah.
Did they count it?
They counted it.
AJ Profit.
Make fun of my
That's
comment.
Right. AJ Profit. Mark, from the corner. Best athlete you ever covered.
Well, I tell you what, going back to track, I mean, I'd put one of your guys up here toward the top of the list. Mike L. Rogers is one of them.
I
always say the greatest athlete I've seen locally is Greyhorn.
Yeah.
And I would give Joe Horn a close second.
Nope.
I always say Greyhorn for his size, he did things that was just you look at him and think, okay, he's a big guy, but the things he did on the track
right.
in every event. And then Joe Horn, I mean, he wasn't a very big guy at all. Mm-hmm. Remember watching him down state track meet that one year, he won four events. two relays, two individual events. And the guy was 5'10", 180 pounds. Yep. Yeah. Those two come to mind, I think, as far as local athletes, but Mike L. Rogers up here, probably that top three or four that coach here had him years ago on the state team.
That answer will change after April 12th when you watch the three of us run. Slow 40. What is black and white and red all over?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Why did we come on this show?
I don't know.
The newspaper, black and white.
And red,
and
all,
red
over.
All over.
Yeah, no, we got
it.
We knew the answer.
Yeah. Who's
all right,
to
last,
see if he knew it?
Last one. last one, okay.
Darn it. Can't
Is work. There any free food that print media won't eat?
Depending on how many days in a row, it's just pizza. Because there's only so many days in a row you can eat some Jets pizza up at BG before you just need to reevaluate things.
It's a race after those two they put out for 50 people, right?
I always limit myself to one day where I just go hard on that Jets pizza, but after that I gotta mix in a couple salads or something.
I feel like about day three of the state wrestling tournament, I can't eat any more chips and any more pretzels, and it's... I like it the first couple days, but it gets old after a while. So
coming from a guy who spent like four food tickets worth of food at the state basketball tournament, which those are $15 a piece, and the concessions are reasonably priced at date.
Donato's was good.
One more question I want to know from you guys, because of all the state venues you've been to, what OHSAA, we've talked a lot this year about a lot of different changes just over the last decade too, mm-hmm. with things getting shifted around for state championship games and things like that. But where is your favorite place to go to call a state championship? Is it basketball? Is it wrestling? Swimming?
That's
wherever.
A good question.
This is an easy one for me, and it's not going to be the answer that you guys are looking for, but it's a baseball state tournament because you get to go to Canal Park in Akron. So you're in a minor league baseball stadium, and what they do with the media there is they just put us in the suites winding around home plate. Wow. So you get to either sit in the air conditioning or out on the balcony in
Very
the
nice.
Air. And they treat us really well. There's one stairway, and all of a sudden you're in field level. And plus it's across the street from where I used to live when I was in college. So I'm pretty used to the environment. And it's also just, it's kind of the last hurrah of the school season, I feel like, because, after spring sports with track state, softball state, baseball state, it's kind of a little bit of a dead zone until late June when we start picking up little rumblings of football, and then July and August.
I think think my favorite's got to be Jesse Owens for track. Yeah. I mean, that's and I actually have 1A, 1B here. Jesse Owens for track, you can't beat it. I know we had last year at the University of Dayton, which I thought they did a great job.
You know, but I wanted to go back to Jesse Owens.
Yeah, we definitely go back to Jesse Owens. Yes. Which, you know, they got that place renovated really nice. They got the track redone, the stadium's redone. It's going to be beautiful. And I have to say, probably right there along with is Schottenstein for state wrestling. The way they organize a three-day state wrestling tournament, it's unreal. Yeah. You sit there, and now they put the girls' tournament in with the boys, which they do a fantastic job incorporating both girls and boys, even on the finals night. And we talked about this before. If you've never been there for the finals for state wrestling, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you got to go watch that because the way they put that whole thing on, and you're seeing Division I, II, and III and the girls for the state title matches all at the same time, it's unbelievable. And they're pretty much sold out for the night of the finals. So those two are my favorite.
Well, guys, thank you so much. First off, I can't thank both of you enough for what you've done for me over the last couple of years and just being in media and trying to understand what my job is and what we're supposed to do. But you guys have been awesome. And I know the Northwest Ohio and Lima Land just loves the fact that you guys are still doing what you're doing. So we appreciate you guys. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
It is cool because, you know, getting to know Danny over the years, using the Lima News because he needs someone to read it to him. And, you know, the time that we have had where I read it to him, it's helped our relationship grow, you know. Yeah. So thanks for being a big part of that.
Yeah, we appreciate.
Don't try
it.
To get rid of me now because I plan on sticking around.
It ain't gonna work.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys too for what you do. Absolutely. You do a great job.
It's tournament time here on the Three Wise Men, and I'm gonna be honest with you. We've had a lot of great ideas on this show, but Miles, I'm giving you the credit. You have come up with a fantastic idea. I'm going to turn this one over to you. I'm not going to switch seats with you because I like the one camera on me.
Yeah.
And I know you and Nate share a camera.
That's
which
why
is
you get
cute.
Here at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, well, it's varsity JV. I don't know what else to tell you. Just
Did
take
just
it.
Call us varsity and JV.
No, I call me varsity.
You know, I got,
Specifically, yes.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm just happy to be on
Division
the team.
Division 1 over here on this side.
I'm just happy to be on the team, Danny.
Wow. Hey, you have a certain picture that we could always use, right?
At any time. For the billboard. Time. That's going on the billboard.
We also have a dinner date we're going to go on.
Is that it? Yeah.
All right. So we thought it would be fun to have the Three Wise Men, a King of the Court tournament, a one-on-one tournament with Lima Land's best players, right? Mm. Originally, when we talked about doing this, we want to make this a real-life concept. We want to have guys play games one-on-one. We thought it would be absolutely
totally
fantastic.
100% serious.
This is one of the few times that we're not.
Yeah, we are not
like,
joking.
This is
we
not a joke.
Probably
like, we
should
want
be the guy that's saying this, right? why? What's the problem?
It's the first time he's been honest in 30 episodes.
I'm being serious. Yes, we
this
want
time
to.
I am.
Yeah, it would be a great one-on-one tournament. Originally, it was going to be 8 guys, but there are so many great players in Lima Land. We had to expand it to 16. So we're going to play games up to 7. You have to win by 2 in this tournament. Everything's worth 1 point unless it's a 3-pointer, then it's worth 2 points, right? It is make it, take it. So if Chris is playing Mark and he makes the first shot, he gets to take the ball back on offense until Mark stops him, right? And then it's Mark's ball. Yep. Everything has to go back to the 3-point line. All right, there is no catching an air ball and putting it in. I know some of you guys played one-on-one basketball that way growing up, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not like that. Every possession has to start outside the 3-point line, and we're going to have referees. So if there's a foul, referee says that's a foul, you go shoot a free throw. If you make the free throw, that's a point right there, okay? The bracket was really tough to come up with. We thought we did about as fair as we could. Now, we did kind of skew towards what we thought would be fun matchups in the first round, like the Sensabaughs going against each other. We thought that'd be fun. Amari Wash versus Zuri Island, we thought that'd be fun too. So we're going to go through the bracket, and we're going to pick the winners here. And at the end of the day, we're going to have ourselves our first ever King of the Court champion here. And then hopefully next year, we actually have it in real life when we can actually give out a crown and a championship belt and have a real winner.
And then Miles can do an interview at center court.
That's right.
Well, so you want to go over all of our contestants and who?
Yeah, let's go ahead and put the bracket up if we can. There we go. Cam Elwer is going to start it off against Ren Sheets. Jaquel Cotton against Balen Blackburger. Will Sensabaugh against Owen Sensabaugh. Jordan Purdy against Maddox Underwood. And then the bottom bracket, Trevick Berkey, Austin Niekamp. Wow, what a matchup that is. Yeah. Sean and Willie Foster, Zuri Island, Amari Wash, and Beckett Berkey versus Jaron Swick. Now, we did not seed it, okay? So we didn't say he's the one seed, he's the two seed, or anything like that. Okay. We just kind of wanted to have the best possible first-round matchups and build it from there.
No? So, can I take a look at the Cam Elwer matchup?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start it off.
So, I think Ren Sheets is a fantastic player, but I think in this tournament, Cam Elwer's the best shooter in the tournament. Yeah. I think you look at that. I think he takes him off the dribble. I think he gets to the rim. I think he beats him off the dribble. Ren Sheets is going to have to – he's not an outside shooter. He's a back-to-the-basket kind of guy. I like Cam Elwer in this one.
So – let me ask you, because obviously, you know, we're going through this, and we haven't talked a ton off-air about how we're doing this. Right. So are we just going to go through, and each one of us is going to pick who we think will win a matchup,
exactly.
and the majority is going to move on, right?
Okay.
So pretty much everything you said, I agree with as well. In this matchup with Cam and Ren, I think Ren's a tremendous player, obviously, but when you go Cam's skill set against Ren's skill set, I think that Cam will be better off the dribble. He can pull up, get his shots. He'll be able to create space to kind of nullify that length of Ren. Now, Ren gets the ball. You know, he's going to be able to go and go to the inside.
Down, right?
You know, what's the one knock against that Delphus St. John's team this year, right?
They struggled when they went up against
big guys. But I think when you just go one-on-one, I think at the end, Cam and his ability to score from anywhere on the floor will just be too much.
Yeah, I look at it like this, very similar to you guys. Cam can score many ways, right?
Yeah.
With Ren, he scores one way, you know, from 5 feet and in, right? Yeah. So I think that's going to be the thing. Ren's going to keep it close, though. We're so good defensive. Might be the best defensive player in this tournament. But at the end of the day, Cam Elwer moves on.
Yeah, let's not ignore the fact, too, that these are two conference players of the year going at it.
Yeah, great
and
point.
Ren Sheets' team beat Cam Elwer's team in the regular season.
Right
but
in
with,
there.
With all that misdirection there, I'm taking Cam Elwer because I love his ability to finish through contact and his ability to just shoot that step back off the dribble and yeah, he's my pick.
And I can't go against what you guys said. Cam's going to be a little too quick, I think.
Yep.
You know, the only way Ren would have a chance if Cam was way off on a shot and for some reason, you know, Ren could back him up. I think if you're playing a one-on-one setup like that, I'd put money on Cam Elwer.
All right, Cam's moving on.
Cam moves on. Next one, Jaquel Cotton, Baylen Blockburger. I said this last night at the District 8 All-Star Game. If Cam Elwer doesn't exist, Baylen Blockburger's probably the best player in the MAC. Now, with that being said, I watched Jaquel Cotton knock 10 threes down at the OG Winter Classic.
Right.
He's a D1 player. Mm-hmm. Guys, I think Blockburger's outstanding. He ain't beating Jaquel Cotton.
Yeah, remember, it's make it, take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
good point.
We saw the guy just get red hot at that OG Winter Classic. I think Jaquel Cotton starts it and ends it. I don't think Blockburger gets a possession. I'm going with Jaquel Cotton. He wins it straight out.
I'm with you guys. I think Jaquel, his ability to be able to shoot the ball from behind the arc and then also be able to go to the inside if he needs to, I think he'll be able to pretty much get wherever he wants to get to. Right. Jaquel Cotton is very underrated as a player. He doesn't get nearly as much attention as he should for his skill set. And it's because he's playing around some of that other talent of Lima Senior and then just some of the other talent in this area. But Jaquel Cotton's game is fantastic. And I have him moving on.
It's just that unicorn skill set that he possesses, man. When he pulls up, he just kind of looks like Kevin Durant at times, where you just feel like it's going in. That form's great. It's going to be hard to knock Jaquel Cotton off in this tournament.
Yeah, Baylen's guy is very athletic, but I think the length of Jaquel and the way he can play is a slasher. You know, you can't hardly stop his length when he goes inside. So I had to go with Cotton too.
Mm-hmm. Jaquel Cotton moves on.
Jaquel Cotton moves on.
Hey,
well, that's a great second round matchup.
I know, right? Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that one. Next matchup, Owen Sensabaugh, North versus South, East versus West, brother versus brother. Look, I got to tell you this. Owen last night was fantastic. He had 23 in the District 8 All-Star game.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, his brother Will, I've said this all year, that kid is cutthroat. He's going to push, kick, do whatever he can to knock his brother down. I love Will Sensabaugh. I'm going Will Sensabaugh.
You're going Will Sensabaugh.
I am going Will.
I'm going with Big Brother. I think Owen's a little bit tougher. I was so impressed with his 23 points last night. You know, growing up with brothers, older brothers usually win, right? So I'm going with Owen.
I'm going with the older brother as well. I think that's the difference, right? You're talking about older brother, younger brother. You can't go against the older brother in these matchups.
They know how to get under the skin.
Yeah.
Look, one of these kids is a football player. His name's Will Sensenbaugh. So if it comes down to these two throwing hands on it, I'm definitely picking Will, and I'm going to pick Will to win this game too.
Comes down to Mark.
Oh, Mark's got to be the tiebreaker.
I really have to go with Owen. And I'll tell you why. I think being the older brother and just the more intensity he'll play with against his younger brother. I think you have to give the slight edge, very slight edge.
How many times do you guys think they've done that already?
Oh, I'm
play one-on-one.
How many times did they wind up without a fist fight?
Yeah. No fouls called, right?
So Owen moves on, and you and I figured that these three don't know what they're talking about. Hey, this next matchup, I'm not kidding you. This might be the best matchup of the whole thing. You want to talk about two players that are just absolutely amazing. Jordan Pretty and Maddox Underwood.
Boy.
This is a really tough one for me. I'm going to go with Jordan Pretty. I've seen him in big games. He's played in a lot more big games than Maddox Underwood. Maddox Underwood can take over games. Right. I just like Jordan Pretty from the outside. I like his quickness. I like his ability to get to the rim. I like his ability to score. I'm going to go Jordan Pretty.
Well, you guys, if we were at the District 8 All-Star game, you'd have noticed that Jordan Pretty cut all of his hair off.
He did.
That's a brand new Jordan Pretty out there on the court. He was also wearing the old school LCC jersey, which was so cool. Awesome. You know, poor Maddox Underwood, man. He runs into Cameron Elwer in football and basketball, and then we put him against Jordan Pretty in this one-on-one tournament.
Miles did that.
I could have put him against Cam Elwer, which I'm not like that.
All true. Complaints go to Miles. I'll just number put up on the
Jordan Pretty moves on for me.
And, you know, I guess I have to agree with Jordan Pretty. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't be shocked if Underwood gave him a little battle because the kid's a very physical, athletic kid. I watched him play early in the year, and I couldn't believe how quick he could go to the bucket without the ball. I mean, he could rebound. He could do everything inside like a big guy. But I think Purdy's got too much offensively for Maddox to handle.
And I think Jordan Pretty as well. I think his ability to get to the basket is underrated. When he's one-on-one, there's really nobody that can stop him. The only time that you really saw Jordan Pretty kind of start to struggle is when defenses, they were face guarding, they were running two guys at him. But one-on-one, I don't know that there's too many other guys in this area that are better.
Yeah, I love Jordan Pretty's, not just his offensive game, scores at all three levels, right? Mm-hmm. He's almost automatic from behind the arc. But he is so underrated as a defender. You never see anybody turn on him and get to the basket. Right. And that's Maddox Underwood's game, right? He loves to get to the basket. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Pretty is just one of those guys that we look at and say, oh, he's just a scorer only. Very underrated defensively. Might be the second best defender in this whole tournament. I'm going with Jordan Pretty.
As I said earlier, that game was, or that matchup was the best. It may change now because I'm looking at Trevick Berkey and Austin Niekamp. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
A lot of length there, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How do I get to the rim of these guys? And really, that's going to depend on who can knock down outside shots. Right. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen Austin Niekamp knocking him down all year. He's a go-to three-point shooter. Yeah. Trevick Berkey's a really good player. Just in this one-on-one matchup, I like Austin Niekamp.
Mark, you want to start it off?
You know what, and I'm trying to debate, because I've seen Austin once this year, seen Trevor a couple times. I think it's who's going to be able to knock down the outside shot, and I think I'd have to give that slight edge to Berkey. Austin, I think he might be just, I don't want to say he's a little slower than Trevor, but I think Trevor can beat him off the dribble a little bit better. I would have to give Berkey the edge in this one.
So I'm going with Trevick Berkey as well. And the main reason why is, you know, Austin Niekamp, the offense goes through him down at Marion Local, but you don't see him bringing the ball up the floor too often. True. He doesn't. Yeah. Trevick Berkey at times will run the point for that Shawnee team.
He leads the break.
I think he's a much better ball handler, which I think will give him the edge in this matchup.
Yeah, I agree with you big time. Austin Niekamp, he's a great catch and shoot guy. Is he a guy that can create his own 3-point shot using a dribble? I don't know about that. Trevick's a very smart player. What's he going to do? He's going to get up in the grill of Austin Niekamp, right?
Yeah.
Make him put the ball on the floor. Trevick has those go-go gadget arms, man. He's going to be able to reach around. I just think it's going to be easier for Trevick to score.
Yeah, to me, this is a matchup between a guard that can play center and a center that can play guard.
No, good
but,
point.
You know, I really like Trevick Berkey in this matchup.
So all four of you are wrong.
Yeah. So
Trevick Berkey's family's going to call me. Yeah. Really? Really?
I think he's called now. I think he's called.
All right, guys. This one is, this matchup is this bananas.
Is it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Bananas,
Foster's bananas. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's joke. You know, it's jokes like that that keep this show afloat. Right.
You guys think Miles is the funny guy? Well, I'm not. Sean Foster, Willie Foster. This one's got me going crazy here because I watched what Willie Foster did last night at the District 8 All-Star game. Maybe the most incredible play that didn't happen. I've seen Sean Foster become an MVP at a holiday tournament this year. He's going to be maybe a McDonald's All-American, maybe the most skilled, gifted player we've seen all year. And for those reasons, I'm going to go Sean Foster.
I'm
going
to go.
Now, we're going injury-free Sean Foster.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I agree with you. Foster's moving on.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good cop.
This is the one game, though. Remember, it's going to be you got to win by two, right? This one's going to go up to 15. I don't see this one ending early.
You're afraid to pick this one.
I am. Right. Right. It is so tough. I'm going to go with Willie Foster, though. Okay. I just think it's going to be a little bit easier. He shoots the three a little bit better, in my estimation.
So I disagree. I think it's going to be Sean. I think Willie is probably the most athletic player that is in this entire tournament. The things that he can do off ball and when he has the basketball and his ability, he can leap out of every gym. We've seen a lot of talented dunkers come through this area, but I don't know that anybody's been better than Willie Foster and what Willie's been able to do. However, when you're talking about a one-on-one matchup and the tournament style that we're talking about, I don't know that that skill set will translate against Sean, mm-hmm. who is one of those guys that can shoot off the dribble, hand in face, falling away in corners. You know, his ability to create shots is very, very high level, and I think that that will allow Sean to go ahead and take care of Willie.
Yeah, one-on-one is Sean Foster's game. When that offense goes into 9-1-1 mode, they hand the ball to Sean, tell him to go to work, and I think he wins this right here.
I agree with you guys. So Sean can create his shot anywhere on the court, and I think it'll come down where he can do a little bit more with the ball than what Willie can. So I think it's going to be a tough battle.
Well, I think we all know, though, that if we have a dunk contest part of this, right, who's
winning? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It wouldn't even be close.
No, it be close
honestly, if you're everybody else who's like, listen, you can just win it. We're just going to watch you dunk for a half hour and call it good.
I'm not real sure Willie Foster wouldn't win the NBA dunk contest. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be like Larry Bird. Who's going to come in second? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Who's won second place tonight?
Teammates play each other here, guys. Zori Island and Amari Walsh. This one is so close for me. Even their stats this year were just identical to each other. So because of that, I'm going to go with the senior. I'm going to go with Zori Island.
That's interesting because I go with the guy that's a little bit stronger, right? You talk to anyone that Amari Walsh guarded throughout the year, all they do is they talk about, I can't believe how strong he was, right? How does Zori Island get around a guy that's as equally as quick as him, but a little bit stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Amari Walsh wins this one. That's because he's a little bit stronger.
Yeah. A year ago, I think I take Zori. Now I take Amari. The growth that Amari has made over the last year, just – a lot of that has come from what he has tried to do to change himself for football, and it translated really well to basketball for him. He's more physical. I think he has more confidence. I like how he plays. He seemed a lot more in control this year when he played, even when things were going at that pace that Elijah loved to play. Mm-hmm. You never really saw him getting too fast or too far ahead of it. I really like where his game is right now, and I think that will help him in this one against Zori. I think he could back Zori down because he has that strength to go to the inside if he needs to. You know, Zori is going to have to beat Amari off the ball a lot to get to the basket. And Amari is fast. We saw what he did on the football field, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fastest kid in this area with what he can do. I like Amari's game a lot. I take Amari.
Now, let me ask you this. If we add Parker Krim to guard the basket for each one, who wins that, right?
I think it's a stalemate. They play for 5 hours and it's 0-0.
I think the foul rule really comes into play here because Zori Island showed in the tournament that he was really susceptible to getting into foul trouble. And if a guy is super athletic and quick like Amari Walsh is going at him one-on-one, I think you're going to get a lot of hand slaps and stuff like that. So I'll pick Amari Walsh to win this one.
Yeah, I think with Amari's ability to play more physical presence out there and the way he usually takes the game over when he has to, I think one-on-one concept, you got to look at Amari taking over Zori. In a close battle.
Beckett, Berkey, Jaren Swick, the all-time leading scorer at 14.
Yeah, what a great year, huh?
Yeah, great year. Yep. He led the Musketeers in every category, but he's playing the best player in this tournament. Beckett Berkey, I think, is the best player in this tournament. Yeah, I'm not giving anything away because I haven't decided, but Beckett Berkey is my choice for this one.
Beckett Berkey. I don't need to talk that much about this one.
Wow. Yeah. Jaren Swick can score, though.
That's just a credit to how good Beckett Berkey actually is.
We'll see who you pick.
Well, I'm going to go with Beckett Berkey for the fact that, you know, he averaged a block a game also, right? Yeah, so he's got that length. He's such a smart player. Swick's going to get some points early, right? He might get up 2-0, but Beckett's going to figure things out, right? And he's going to say, hey, I'm a giant compared to this guy. I'm going to back him down. I'm going to check it up. I'm going to hit a three in his face. I just think it's going to be one of those 7-2 type games.
Miles, I think that performance that Beckett put together against Toledo Central Catholic really showed you that Beckett Berkey's not scared of anyone.
No,
he'll
not.
Go gets all the contact. Yep. He'll draw fouls. He'll hit threes, and he can do it all, man.
Yeah, Beckett Berkey. I mean, it is going to be – I'm going to be hard-pressed. I mean, listen, I can be talked into a lot of things, and I can be swayed, but it's going to be really difficult for me to come off of the idea that – Beckett Berkey is not the best all-around player, and when you're talking about a one-on-one tournament like this, that skill set is going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, Jaren Swick's a very physical player. Great. I mean, I love the kid, the way he plays, but I think Beckett's going to be too much for him to handle, especially in a one-on-one, because you're going to he'll be backing him down. And Jaren can hit that mid-range jumper, which might help him a little bit, but I think it comes down to push and shove. Beckett's going to take it over.
The great thing about this tournament is there's no wrong answers. Right? Yeah. There's so many great players.
Oh, don't worry. I am real sure that there'll be some wrong answers. There'll be some people letting us know. Yeah, we got it wrong. I'm sure of it.
Social media is a
I'm just reading Chris's picks here, by the way.
No. All right, guys, let's move to the Elite Eight.
There you go.
What a matchup we have in Cameron Elwer and Jaquel Foster.
Cotton.
Sorry. I don't want to start this one, Nate. You got it.
So, listen, this is going to be my first, I think, maybe surprise pick of this tournament. Listen, I love Cam Elwer. I love what he can do. We're talking about runner-up for Mr. Ohio Basketball. He's a great player. But, again, I've said it a couple times, I go back to it. This is a one-on-one tournament. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jaquel Cotton's skill set is something that we don't see every day. I think Jaquel Cotton, he has the size advantage. He can shoot. I think that Cam will have a really hard time stopping him as he goes to the basket. And if Jaquel gets hot, especially with only playing to seven, there's not a lot of room for air there if you get down a few points. My pick's Jaquel Cotton to move on. I think he knocks off Cam Elwer.
I don't know if you remember, about 4 weeks ago, we were talking around about having a one-on-one tournament, right? And I said, I think Jaquel Cotton would win it if we had a one-on-one tournament right now. Do you guys remember that at all?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, well. I did, and that's why I'm going with Jaquel Cotton over top of Cam Elwer.
Yeah, guys, this Jaquel Cotton is a Division I athlete. He is going to play at Detroit Mercy next year. He's not only going to play there, he's going to be really good there. Mm-hmm. I watched that kid take over games. He is so underrated. I love his game. Cam Elwer's fantastic. Runner-up Mr. Basketball. What can you say?
He's winning it next year, by the way.
Not this tournament.
No, he's winning Mr. Basketball. No,
Jaquel, for me, moves on.
I filled this bracket out in Penn earlier this afternoon. I predicted this exact matchup, and I picked Jaquel Cotton to win it for pretty much all the reasons that were already spoken of. Guy's a unicorn.
I can't add anything else to it, Jaquel Cotton. You're talking one-on-one setup. I mean, skill set. Right. Cam's got the skill set, but the thing is, you're talking about a much bigger guy like Jaquel. They can do so many things inside, and trying to guard him, I mean, it's going to be a load for Cam. We're talking Jaquel.
This is the only thing I will bet against Cam Elwer in, by the way. Everything else?
Yeah.
And even then, I don't feel like good about it. I don't feel like, because there's also.
Surprised if he won,
like,
right?
Yeah, like, no, there's still, you know. They would be like, oh, Cam Elwer won. And be like, oh, no, didn't see that happen. Like, obviously Cam can do it. I just think with what Jaquel can do, I think you're right, Mark. I think he'll be too much. I think eventually that will, you know, bend things back towards Jaquel's, and he comes away with the win.
Is it too late for Jake Diebler to recruit Jaquel Cotton? Is it too late?
Never too late. No, because he can play a year at Detroit.
Right, bring him back. There you go. How that kid got out of here, I don't know. Yeah.
Come right over.
Guys, Owen Sensabaugh and Jordan Pretty, man, you don't talk about great matchups. These two good guards. I said, Owen got 23 last night at the District 8 All-Star game. Those guys went head-to-head a lot last night.
Sure did.
Really good basketball. I'm probably going to make somebody mad, but I'm going to go with Owen Sensabaugh. I like him in this
matchup. You like the Sensabaugh, don't you? You like him, except for you went with Will in the first round.
I like them. I like them because they play with a chip on their shoulder. I like them because they've been around the game their entire life. I like them because their dad's on the bench. I like them sometimes because they don't get along with their dad, which is competitiveness. You know, I really like those kids. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Owen.
No, I get it. I like those guys a great deal, too. But, you know, Jordan Pretty, though, is just kind of special.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Right? 21
fantastic.
Points a game. Yeah. Cut his hair. He looks so pretty. Had the throwback jersey on. He's a great defender. I think Jordan Pretty wins this one.
Yeah, I'm with Jordan Pretty as well. I think that, you know, the skill set that he has, a lot like we talked about in that first matchup, his ability to create off the ball, he has that three-point shot. He can drive to the basket. I don't think he'll have as much success getting to the basket against Owen because of the physicality too. But that's okay because he has that mid-range and that long distance shot that is just so pretty at times that he just steps into some of those shots. They look effortless. And I think that eventually that'll give him the lift here in this one.
Jordan Purdy's got two of the best student section chants on his side in this game. He's so pretty and Agent Zero, and I can't bet against that.
I have to go along with you guys. Jordan Pretty in a setup like this, he's just too physical and too quick, I think.
Lower
I think
body it'd be strength, too.
Yeah, strength, the way he plays inside, creates his own shot. I, unless he goes ice cold, I had to go Pretty.
I'd love to see him in the football field, wouldn't you?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Coach Staley, get on him. Start recruiting
him. There you go. I'm sure he's talked to him already.
Trevick Berkey, Sean Foster.
You want to go first?
Yeah.
Danny needs more time.
I do.
Only because of what we saw earlier in the season from Trevick Berkey. At times, he can be a little slow-footed on defense, and that's something he shored up a little bit over the course of the season, but I think Sean Foster is still just too quick in this matchup. And Sean Foster plays a lot of big physical teams. He's not afraid to go up against size, and I think he's just a little bit more well-rounded for a one-on-one tournament than Trevick Berkey is.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. Sean just really off the dribble, the way he can create a shot. The quickness would get to Trevick after a while. I think pretty soon it'd be hard for him to stay with him. So I'll go with Foster.
Yeah, so this one so far I think is the hardest one for me to pick because I love
you work at that school.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with that. I love Sean's mid-range game. I think, you know, he is one of the best that I have seen in a long time, and he's only a sophomore at creating his own shot.
People forget that, right?
Like, I mean, what he can do, you know, with the basketball, it doesn't always have to be a deep three. It doesn't have to be, you know, layups. He can create shots. But the growth that Trevick Berkey had this year, I don't think enough people talk about. You know, coming into this year, it was, well, you know, Beckett did all the heavy lifting last year with all the scoring. Everybody saw what happened in that regional semifinal loss that they had. Trevick had to come in and had to take a big step forward, and man, did he. He went from averaging 5, 6, 7 points a game to almost 20 a game. Mm-hmm. He took that burden off of Beckett, and he did it by being able to shoot on the outside. He ran the baseline really, really well. You saw him be able to run the floor. With that being said, I think a lot of that was set up because of Beckett and his presence and how good of a passer Beckett is that allowed Trevick to be able to play freely with the ball in his hands, trying to create one-on-one against Sean, who I think is really quick defensively as well. Great lateral movement. As I'm sitting here talking through it, with all those things said, it made up my mind. I think it's going to be Sean. I think that just the things that he can do on ball will give Trevick a lot of problems.
You're talking yourself into it, weren't you?
I'm telling you. When you just look at it, it is a difficult one because Trevick's going to have the size, and we know what he can do. He's a good shooter. He plays good defense. He can score the ball. But, you know, the way that Sean plays and the way that he can create and the defense that he has, I think he's going to come up with some big steals against Trevick. Trevick's just not going to be ready for that speed yet, and I think that Sean ends up winning.
All right, so take away the ball from him early in the year, I would say yes, but Trevick got so much better at taking care of the basketball, right?
Yeah.
Great spot-up shooter. So, you know, if he gives him a little bit of room, Sean, that is, Trevick's going to hit the three, right? So then Sean has to come up on him. Well, then you see Trevick will use his length to get around him, right? You say, well, Sean's going to be able to get around him on the offensive end. Don't forget how long Trevick is, right? I like the length. I like the spot-up shooting of Trevick Berkey. I think Trevick moves on.
Is this 2-2 right now?
No.
No. 3-1.
Yeah. 3-1. Yeah, you're fighting a losing battle. It's fine.
I interviewed Quincy last year on the radio, and I asked him what he thought about Sean Foster. And he said this. He said, I think he has a chance to be the best we've ever seen at Lima Senior. Ooh, now, that's huge high praise. Oh,
yeah. They said that after about his fifth game last year. When
he got a Division I offer already as a freshman. This year he was hurt a little bit and had some games where he kind of didn't play as well as we thought he should. But you can see it. You can see he does things that other kids can't do. He's going to be a special player.
But it's one-on-one, though.
Yeah. I like Sean in this matchup. Yeah.
All right, y'all are wrong.
Amari Walsh and Beckett Berkey quickness.
Walsh. Mary
versus
Walsh. Boy. Mary Walsh.
Quickness versus size.
Boy.
Never mind. We'll leave you alone on it. No, we'll leave you alone on it.
I love Amari Walsh, but Walsh. Beckett Berkey, I think, is the best player in this. So I got to go with Beckett Berkey. How do you stop him? I don't know if Amari's going to be able to stop him. Just such a huge difference in size right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've already kind of made my feelings about Beckett as a player, pretty clear. You know, I love Amari Walsh, what he can do, but I think ultimately the skill set of Beckett will be too much, and, you know, he'll overwhelm Amari and we'll take this one.
Yeah, Beckett Berkey on this one for sure for me.
Yeah, it'd be hard for him to even shoot over Beckett. I mean, Beckett's got that skill set where he can shoot over you, go around you, and I think Amari would have a hard time, you know, staying with Beckett. So
he'd have to get to the free throw line a lot, wouldn't he?
He would, a lot. And
Beckett also just basketball IQ through the roof, probably the best, maybe even in this whole bracket. So stick with him.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, Amari. You're done. Beckett wins this one. Yeah. So we move on to the Final Four, gentlemen. We have got to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Hoops.
just mania going
I'd
on.
I'd love
right
to see
now.
It. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to see this?
Yeah,
this
could happen.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. In the Minneapolis Metrodome or something. You know, you guys don't remember that. Anyways, Jaquel Cotton.
Why would we move it to Minneapolis?
Yeah.
When
the bracket comes back up, it says the best of Lima Land. But we're going to do it in Minneapolis.
Final Four. We'll have Prince at halftime.
I'm sure we'll get the gym that day.
Get Chet Herbig to tip it off.
I have spoken.
Is that Kirby Puckett?
Yeah, Joe Mauer's throwing out the first. Yeah, Jaquel Cotton, Jordan Pretty. Wow, we're starting with you, Mark.
Boy, okay. Well, that
he can see my answer, so this is unfair. But let's go.
I tell you, one-on-one situation. There's two ways to look at it. Jordan's got that quickness. He finds a way to get the hole. I wouldn't be shocked either way, but. When I look at who he's going against, Jaquel, with the size, and he can slash the basket, I got to lean toward Cotton. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those games. Could be back and forth, two-point game. I got to lean toward Cotton, but I wouldn't be shocked if Pretty did win it.
I'm riding with Jaquel Cotton on this one. I think I've used enough superlatives for him in the first couple of rounds to let my feelings known. Kid's just really good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that because Cotton might get a second shot if he misses, right? Yeah. Not so sure that Pretty, if he misses a shot,
right.
gets a rebound, right? He's going to have to be almost perfect every time he puts the ball up in the air. Jaquel Cotton moves on.
Yeah, I'm going with Jaquel, and I think this is like really when the rules that you have laid out start coming into play, right? I think who has the first possession of this one, it would become really important. They're both great three-point shooters, mm-hmm. so who hits that first shot and gets the first possession and gets momentum on their way? Where I think things get a little bit interesting in this one is when you're talking about the officiating and free throws. When, you know, Jordan trying to keep Jaquel from coming to the inside and trying to keep him out of the, you know, close to the basket. If he starts fouling Jaquel and Jaquel gets himself to the free throw line, this is going to be a problem for Jordan. I think ultimately this one is won at the line and Jaquel puts it away and moves on.
We were walking in high cotton. Jaquel Cotton wins this
one.
Jaquel Cotton wins this one. Jordan, you're pretty, but you're done. I'm just throwing all of them out there. All right, our next Final Four matchup.
Oh, boy.
Sean Foster, Beckett Berkey. Mm. I think the two maybe most talented players in this match.
Probably the best matchup
Yeah.
We say that every round.
Eighth best.
Let's start with you.
Yeah, to me, this is going to be a little bit of a surprise to you guys. I don't think Beckett struggles at all here. I think this is one of those 7-2 ones. I think Beckett gets the ball first, gets out to a 5-0 lead. Sean makes a little bit of a run, but then the free throw line comes in, right? He is so much bigger, so much stronger. I think he gets to the free throw line. He wins at the free throw line, making the last two. I think this is like a 7-2 win.
Look, it's tough. I love Beckett as a player. I love Sean as a player. We've already talked about this a lot. I think in this matchup, I do think that styles make fights.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on what style we get here, right? If we get just a pure, they're going to let each other have some space and take shots, this is going to come down to who, I mean, as our trading baskets, just who happens to miss, right? Yeah. But if this is to the basket, drive against one another, you know, trying to get to the inside. I give that edge to Beckett just on his length because he doesn't have to be at the rim to get it off the glass. We saw that a lot this year where, you know, he's coming downhill and it almost looks like he's going out of bounds, but somehow he gets that arm off to the side. Mm-hmm. He gets an easy layup. That's really hard it's really difficult to try to defend those types of things, and it will cause a style problem for Sean, and I think ultimately that will lead Beckett to winning this one and moving on in, I think, a really close one.
I'm picking Sean Foster here, and here's the reasoning behind it. I think Sean has seen maybe 10 guys who look like Beckett Berkey stylistic-wise in the schedule that they play, you know, Pace Academy and all these other places.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's dealt with it pretty well. I think he had 40-some in the flying to the hoop. And I just have a hard time picking against him when it comes down to speed and athleticism versus just like Beckett Berkey's kind of crafty style. And Yeah, Sean Foster, man.
Yeah, don't be short on Beckett as an athlete, though. He's a really good athlete.
He is.
But it's like we talked about, if, you know, if Beckett gives Sean some space, Sean, we already know his ability to pull up.
Yeah. Oh, he can do it.
And then if Beckett has to close
that. You
got to
do it over that long arm.
Well, but if Beckett closes that space, Sean can put it on the floor and go around. But that's where I think the length of Beckett will be his advantage. But Beckett's going to have to get off to a quick. He can't go down 2-0 or 3-0 in this one. Sean would win it. Beckett's going to have to get off to a good start. He's going to have to kind of, you know, able to put a couple of shots in quickly, you know, establish himself in that length, and then you get Sean trying to press, and that would be an issue at that point. So as long as Beckett gets off to a good start, I mean I've stayed with Beckett, but look, if Sean wins this one, what we talked about with Cam and Jaquel, right? You're not going to be surprised if Sean wins this one.
Sean's quick, and when a 6'6", 6'7" guy dribbles the ball, there's a lot of land between his hand and the court, and that kid can sneak in there, get the ball from you, and he'll make you pay in a hurry.
The only thing I'll say about that with that, and again, this is all hypothetical, so I don't know why we're trying to argue about it anyway. But
next year it won't be. We're going to have it for real.
But
in Minnesota.
But
for some reason.
Yeah. But
it's a great place.
It's not very often, though, in this area. You know, the ones that you talked about with that Sean has seen, those guys weren't running point. And Beckett, for multiple years now, has been running the point over at Shawnee. So he's used to that smaller player being able to cut those angles off. You know, that's just been part of his skill set because he doesn't play a 4 or 5.
Yeah. Good.
Mark.
You know, I tell you what, it's a tough one. I've been thinking about that for about 2 rounds because, you know, I think Sean plays a lot different than most guys are 6'1". I mean, we all agree. He can play. He plays a lot taller than 6'1". I think Wade's so explosive off the ball, and he could take a guy off the dribble. You know, it depends how Beckett plays him. He plays him like you were talking about, Nate. If he plays him close up, I think Beckett's in trouble. I think Sean can beat him to dribble and get around him. But then if he plays back, Sean's got that nice jumper. He can shoot over Beckett. So if I had to go the one winner, which I have to, I mean, I would think Sean's quickness and ability to make his own shot, I think eventually we'd get to Beckett. Being a taller guy trying to stay with him.
Whoa.
I give it to Sean Foster.
2-2. Two, 2-2.
Two. Two, two.
Yeah.
Geez, I wonder who has to make the decision.
Game 5 in Minnesota.
The Metrodome. It's a good place. It's cold.
Real nice.
Beckett is one letter from Bucket. He's a bucket
Buckets.
Maker. He's a bucket maker. I watched him play against Lima Senior this year. He was the best player on the floor. Bar none, he was the best player on the floor. He had the best night, I should say. He's a gamer. I love Sean Foster. I really do. I like his length. When you talk about Beckett Brady, this kid leads the break for them. He gets a rebound. He takes it all the way to the basket. I think he's the best player in Lima Land right now. You know, I think Sean Foster will eventually be, but I got to give the nod to Beckett.
Bucket Berkey moves on.
Bucket Berkey, yeah.
Look at this final.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love you guys, though, because every time you pick a winner and a loser, you're like, you know, I love that kid, though.
because everybody that gets beat, we got to get him on the show. Next year when I'm covering Lima Senior and I want to do an interview after the game, Sean will be like, no, I don't think so. Beckett's not here.
All right, guys. Final, though.
Yes, the championship match. Wow. Jaquel Cotton, Beckett Berkey. I don't know that we could have picked a better matchup for the championship matchup. These are, you know, Jaquel Cotton is going to be a Division I player. Beckett Berkey is going to be a Division I player. Yeah. It's going to be fun next year to watch and see what Beckett does for a college choice because he's just going to blow up this summer on the summer circuit. You start first.
Why? Just because you've said so? Is that how this works?
All right, great. Out there.
All right, Jaquel and Beckett. Listen,
please
you're talking.
This
is good. You're talking about two players that are very similar. I mean, you're talking. You know, this whole thing we've been talking about. You know, a height advantage or being able to shoot or being able to, you know, get rebounds. So you know, it's one and done opportunity. Well, these guys are mirror images of each other when it comes to that.
Yeah.
They're both about the same height. They both can shoot from the inside or from the outside. They can get to the rim if they need to. The only thing, as I said at the very beginning, it was going to be...
We're struggling with something that's not even happening.
Well, because when you think about it, listen, at the end of the day, I really think... I said it at the beginning, I think that Beckett Berkey is the best all-around player in this area, from top to bottom. And when you are the best all-around player in a one-on-one setting, I think that gives you the advantage. And for that reason, I go with Beckett Berkey.
Well, you really anguished over that one.
Well, listen, because this stuff. Listen, I hope that there's some way in the zeitgeist that we can make something like this happen.
Be amazing.
Because yeah, this is just even hypothetically thinking about, like, just envisioning the games in your head and these guys going after. Because we've seen each other, these kids play.
I just want to call it.
So many. Yes, like this would be so much fun. Yeah. Can you imagine a one-on-one championship game against Jakel Cotton and Beckett Berkey for the best of Lima after this tournament went through? I mean, come on, this thing sells itself.
Least it famous recipe, make this happen.
So, but I think Beckett Berkey is the best all-around player. Yeah. And you know, in a one-on-one tournament, when you have all of those different skill sets, you know, I think that that's going to lend yourself to be able to win things like this. And so, I go with Beckett.
And I agree with everything you said, Nate. And I think another thing that comes in play with a one-on-one matchup, the defense is very important. The guys can hit their shots, but if you put those two guys together, I'm asking myself, which guy would play the best defense? And I think you got the length on both those guys. But I think Beckett, in my opinion, can defend probably a little bit better. I could be wrong. I think it'd be a heck of a game. But I'd have to go with Berkey. I have to go with Beckett just for his skill set, what he has.
Now, purely just because I think Jakel Cotton is the better shooter, I'm going to pick Jakel Cotton. Plus, I think he gets the scouting report from Sean Foster after their semifinal. He might be able to expose a few weaknesses here and there, but I think senior year Beckett Berkey versus senior year Jakel Cotton would be as close to a coin toss as we could get. Yeah. But I like that one little extra year of experience and just seeing what Jakel did on the court this year puts it over the top.
Yeah. Let me preface by saying I think Jakel Cotton's a really good player, but I can't. I'm not going to go against Beckett Berkey. I agree with you, Nate. I've said it all year long. I think he's the best player in Northwest Ohio. I think next year, I also said I think he's could possibly get some votes for Mr. Basketball. I think he's that good. He's going to be a Division I player. He's smart. He plays hard. He doesn't take time off. He's done it all year. Like you look at his stat line, like he never had a bad game.
No.
You know, and I know they were loaded. Don't get me wrong. Right. But he's the leader of that team, and I like Beckett.
Well, we've all seen huge matchups, right? Imagine if Danny and Nate played one-on-one, right? How big that would be, right? This is a little bit bigger. I was at WrestleMania 3 when Hogan and Andre faced off, right? Yeah. This is a little bit bigger. WrestleMania 41, Cody versus John Cena. This is a little bit bigger. Ali Frazier. This is even bigger.
Yeah.
Rocky IV, Balboa Drago. This is even bigger,
Land
right?
Land the plane, Lindbergh.
All right, all right. Stalin. Filibuster Garlic goes on over here. That's okay, but I build up. That's not right.
It's going to build up.
So this is a 10-10 tie.
Oh my
and then there's a missed shot, and that rolls all the way out to the corner. Beckett Berkey gets there first. Jakel Cotton stumbles a little bit. He turns. Bucket Berkey for the win, and the king of the court tournament champion is Bucket Berkey.
I don't think he's left-handed.
Well, right.
That's how good he is.
He hit it with the left hand, not the right hand.
The camera goes backwards, right?
That was fantastic, guys. Yeah. What a tournament. The first ever WSN one-on-one matchup.
I'm tired just watching.
Yeah, right. Listen, this... You know, when you went through this, and I don't, you know, when this thing started, you know, Miles sent us a text and said, hey, send me your top 8 players in the area that you thought. So we all sent him a list. It got expanded because there's just that many this year. I mean, it's been,
it's hard.
We always have good talent in this area. This year, talent pool has been, I think, the largest we've had in quite some time. Looking today, I just re-looking at the District 8 game and the roster. 90% of that District 8 all-star roster is in this tournament that we picked 2 weeks ago.
And I'm not sure those kids that got left off this list wouldn't have competed in this tournament.
Yeah,
we had some incredible
players.
We
floated around play-in games, but we didn't want to be
I mean, we left off the, Division 5 Player of the Year, out of Liberty Benton, right? Like, he's not here. Gurton is not here.
I wanted to put Lauren Ockmoody in this. They wouldn't let me.
You know what? She'd win against the game.
Her and Elwer first round there.
So, this is just even just talking through
through it completely hypothetical. You like it, just the thought of some of these games. We got to make this
before
happen.
Before you move on, you guys want to say it one more time? I really love this guy. But I really love this game. But yeah,
we didn't say it about everybody.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun though. I can't wait to actually see it happen because I think kids would have a lot of fun playing
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
Thanks, guys, for being here for the first ever. Can we call it the Miles Tournament?
No, this is the Three Wise Men King of the Court.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, thanks, guys.